Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Psalms, the Old and New Testaments, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign into Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 224466. These details can be found on our website. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Alternatively, you can find the full recording on our Facebook page. Today, our readings are taken from Daniel 9, verses 20 to the end, and Revelation 12, and the reflection is entitled, God is on the Move.
So we continue to read from the book of Daniel. As we've seen, Daniel often receives dream or vision, and here is something about the future and something to do with the coming of the Messiah. It's quite a key chapter in the prophecy regarding the coming of Jesus Christ.
While I was speaking and was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen before in a vision, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He came and said to me, Daniel, I have now come out to give you wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, a word went out, and I have come to declare it, for you are greatly beloved. So consider the word and understand the vision. 70 weeks are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand, from the time that the word went out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the time of an anointed prince, there shall be 7 weeks, and for 62 weeks it shall be built again with streets and moat, but in a troubled time. After the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing, and the troops of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. He shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall make sacrifice and offering cease. And in their place shall be an abomination that desolates, until the decreed end is poured out upon the desolator. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And if you were already a bit confused about this reading, well, wait for about this one. Revelation 12.
I'm going to close my eyes and listen.
A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs, in the agony of giving birth. Then another portent appeared in heaven, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was snatched away and taken to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, so that there she can be nourished for 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. the great dragon, was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, "Now hath come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. The accuser of our comrade has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they did not cling to life, even in the face of death. So rejoice then, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." So when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle, so that she could fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Then from his mouth the serpent poured water like a river after the woman, to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman. It opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. And the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her children, those who kept the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Then the dragon took his stand on the sand of the seashore. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So how did the closing of the eyes help with?
I do hear better with my eyes closed, I have to say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just wonder where it all comes from, don't you? It's just what was the last? You flipped back to Daniel.
Yeah.
The last, when you get back to Revelation, I was struck by the last sentence, the mention of Jesus. So
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, there are two sentences also that struck me in the reading within the kind of the symbolism. So maybe to concentrate on that, the fact that Daniel was a person who knew the importance to pray and to confess, and not just his sin, but the sin of his people. He was an intercessor, praying on behalf of others to ask for God's grace. If you join us, Daniel was in exile in a country of, in an empire of Babylon, right at the heart of that empire, serving the king there. And yet he also was praying still on behalf of his people, because the hope was that God will bring them back to their country, that they were for a time in exile because of their disobedience, but their hope was ultimately that God would forgive and bring them back. So that's the kind of the context of his prayer. And through that prayer, then there is a breakthrough through a vision, through a visit of Angel Gabriel. Mm. And I just like what the angel says to Daniel. "I have come out to give you wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, a word went out," and that's quite powerful. While we already start praying, things are on the move. And while we might not see it yet, sometimes we hear answer to prayer quite a long time after. And for some, they pray for their friends and they never see them come to face, maybe in their lifetime, but that might happen after their death. There was a great story of person well known in Bristol, a German who opened orphanage there. I forgot his name now, but he's well known. And he was a man of faith, because he never asked for money, and at the end of his life fed more than 3,000 orphans just by faith, by praying. But he also had two of his close friends that he prayed regularly, I think even daily, for them to come to faith. And it's only at his funerals that those two friends gave their life to God. And yet he had this faith, mostly like Daniel, that his prayers, things were on the move right at the beginning. So not only things are on the move, but I like these words that, and I have come to declare that you are greatly beloved. And that's what Jesus tells us, those who have faith in him, that we are beloved. And so we have a great responsibility, but also a great honor to come to him in faith, in our prayers, and to believe that our prayers have the power to move things, to transform things as we enter God's will and God's desire. And I think it was God's desire to reveal his plans. And so he chose Daniel because he saw Daniel's faithfulness. And just a way to read some of those symbolism, weeks often in the Old Testaments are compared to years. So when we hear about 70 weeks, it's 70 years, no, weeks is I can't remember now. I think it's a year. Let me see. I did have a quick look somewhere. A week is 7 years. There we go. A week is 7 years. So 70 weeks is 77 years or 490 years. And often it's translated by when that is given to Daniel, it was the period that they had to wait for the coming of the Messiah, a good, you know, a millennium.
Half a century.
Yeah, maybe half
century.
A millennium. No, because
century.
Well, it's 490 years. So that's
half a millennium.
Half a millennium. And but you have kind of description of 7 weeks and 62 weeks and talking about different stages. First, then the time when they would come back to Israel and rebuild the temple. And we have that in the prophets at some point says, oh, this is the time. This is what Daniel was talking about in Nehemiah, the understanding that the first 7 weeks had been accomplished and it was time to go back. And there was the rebuild of the temple. And then a long period between that rebuild of the second temple and the coming of the Messiah. And it looks like it's not the Jews are not precise. It's like 490 and now this is the year, but that it's very close to that period. It was nearly half a millennium with the coming of Jesus. And then there was this strange 1 week and half of a week and death and judgment. And it looks traditionally that it's with Jesus' ministry and half of a week would be 3.5 years. So Jesus' ministry was about 3 years and his death and how that also brought about the real forgiveness. And the full forgiveness of sins and transgression, because it speaks here about to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness. And that's the promises that we have in Jesus. That's what he brought through his sacrifice. So there is still debates about exactly, but at least it helps us to understand that those visions were understood by the people, and they knew that God, again, saw that God was in control, and God was, our history is not a cycle history, it's a linear, it goes into a final point. And for us, it's a final point of Jesus coming back to restore and to bring heaven and earth, and a new heaven and a new earth, and a new reality. And so Revelation has something of that. It's the in-between, what's happening. Woman, some translated the woman as being Israel, because she's the pregnant who bring about the child. And so Mary, part of being a Jews. And of course, in those days, they were always thinking about in community. So one is a representative of the whole. So Mary is the person who was chosen by God to bring birth to Jesus. But being a Jew, she's representing of the whole Jewish nation. So Israel's to bring about the birth of the Messiah. And of course, the fight between the devil and God and trying to destroy the Messiah and the flee to Egypt. And of course, going through Egypt, you have to go through a desert. So there is a lot of symbolism that most probably first century Christian would have recognized. And they would have found themselves in this kind of cosmic battle. And they would have taken great courage to know that maybe the suffering they were experiencing as Christians, God was still in control. And there was a promise for those who would stand firm. And the promise also that there will be final defeat, that the dragon will be thrown, and that there will be true salvation, as we hear closely, as now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, which is the end or the purpose of God, which is to bring his kingdom in its fullness. But in the meantime, there is still suffering, and there is still a call for us Christians to be faithful. And there is still quite a great unknown of how the details of those things will come about. So you were thinking about some of the verses.
No, just it was just, yeah, then the dragon was angry with the woman.
Yeah.
And went off to make war with the rest of her children.
Yeah.
Those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of feel it very much now, don't you? Just at the moment that that the dragon, the devil, mm-hmm. Satan, you know, mm-hmm. he is really fighting us, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. A real...
Those of us that, you know, are Christians, and we've got to stand and fight back.
Yeah.
He's very, to me, it's very real in the world at the moment. You haven't got to look very far. So, you know, it's incumbent upon us all to stand up for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where and when we can.
Mm-hmm.
And be bold.
And be bold. And that means, you know, also the reality of our world and the decisions that are made on the government side. And we know that at the moment there is a bill that tries to be rushed through about end of life and mm-hmm. euthanasia. And as Christians, we also need to stand for the vulnerable and mm. for those who don't have voices.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we need to include in our prayers regularly the Christians that are in our parliament.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
You know, and as we would, you know, people that are level-headed in the Senate and the represented, you know, in America.
Yeah.
They're not all like their leader by any means.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, yeah.
The Daniel of our time, because he was that, and I like the, you know, through prayer, he has this revelation that he's been given a message that will give him wisdom and understanding, and that's the prayer for those who are in those positions.
Yes, yeah.
By God's spirits, they will receive wisdom and insight and understanding, and then speak out of that with faithfulness and boldness.
Mm.
So let's pray for the day and its task, the world and its needs, and in particular our political leaders and the places of decisions, and our brothers and sisters who have committed their lives to that kind of service and seeking to be faithful there, faithful witness, light and salt, and for the church and our life, especially in the light of the what is going through at the moment, and are called to be places that are safe places for all, that all can find God and his love. So let's pray. Daniel was moved to pray on behalf of his people, including himself, recognizing the many sins that had led to their exile and their physical and emotional suffering in a place that was not their own, and all that meant for them. And Lord, at time, your own church, your own people can be in places of struggling and suffering. And at times, because of the choices we have made not to fully follow you. We remember in Revelation that out of the seven churches, only one was praised without any warnings. And the six others all had things that they had compromised and all had cause to repent. And in the Church of England, we hear reports that call us to repent. When we hear about abuses and we have hid them away, kept them silent, and failed the most vulnerable, Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
But it also reminds us that we are called to also have a prophetic voice and to stand against injustice and deceit and corruption. So we pray for those who belongs to you and are in places of government, places of decisions, whether it's at the local level, in our council, or at the national level, in the parliament and we pray for them. We pray that as they come together, and I know that they have prayer meetings, by your Holy Spirit, you will give them insight, understanding, wisdom, even visions and dreams, and that they will have a message that comes from you. And if it's a hard message, give them the strength. Or we're reminded that your word is like a double sword. When we are in line with your words for your people, they will produce fruits. Sometimes those fruits are fruits of judgments, which is always good because it brings truth into a lie. It brings lies into deceits, and it brings life into corruption. And as we are about to approach Advent, and we pray for our Saturdays and for Lynn and Felicity as they lead us into a time of quietness, that we will also rediscover the importance to be still. Mm. And to be those who are listening more than speaking. Mm. Allowing your Spirit to remind us of your greatness, of your faithfulness, of your sovereignty, of your glory, of your power. And that we are called to steadfast ourselves in you and nothing else. And although you surround us with friends and family and church, we know that we all float and at times will fail. Mm. but you never fail. Your faithfulness endures forever.